You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
How are you today, Nicole?
I'm good, thank you, Kelly. How are you?
Oh, good. It's all very exciting here.
It is. I've been seeing so much New Zealand news on
Have
our
you?
TV.
What, yeah. What kind of stuff is going on over there? What are they writing about us?
Oh, no, good things. A lot of, like, the new Prime Minister articles and who she is
yeah.
and all this stuff. So it's been interesting.
Cool. Oh, well, I'm glad to see news travels.
Yeah.
So obviously over your way, the UN Human Rights Committee has criticised Australia's human rights record the same week that Australia was elected to the UN Human Rights Council in New York.
Yes, kind of an embarrassing look for Australia because we've been going to these councils and committees for quite a long time and saying that, you know, human rights is a priority, we're really proud of our record, things like that. And basically the UN Human Rights Committee had said that, you know, we're chronically non-compliant
oh, wow.
with the committee's recommendations, and we can't really, like, pick and choose which laws we decide to follow and which rights we want to uphold.
Mm.
And in particular, they were concerned about our mandatory detention of children. There was a report a few years ago, and they said we need to stop doing this, but Australia has continued doing that. And also the same-sex marriage survey, they were saying that human rights shouldn't be determined by an opinion poll or a popular vote.
So when they criticise, what sort of reaction does that have, you know, for the Australian community? Is this something that, I mean, do you work on changing now? Or, you know, what kind of action does that criticism see?
I think the public in general would like to see change when the committee says things like this. I don't know how widespread the story would be, but certainly, like, the reaction that I've heard is that people want change. But I think Parliament in general, well, not in general, maybe the main parties, they seem to view all of the committee's findings as optional because, of course, once the committee finds something and hands down the decision, Australia then has to implement it into domestic law.
Yes, yeah.
And there's no framework in place that says you have to do exactly what, you know, a treaty
yes, yeah.
tells you to do. So it's kind of hard without, like, a world government as
yeah,
such.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so,
Also, breakfast show host Lisa Wilkinson has left the Today Show for another channel. What channel is that she's left to?
Yeah, she's left for Channel 10. I think we may have talked about Channel 10 a while ago because they're very broke.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting because the whole reason why she left, according to sources, is because of, like, a pay gap issue.
Right.
So they're basically, like, this the number one television, like, morning program in the major cities around Australia. So Lisa and Carl, they're the two co-hosts, and she apparently was getting about half of what he was getting paid, like $1 million to $2 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and apparently she asked for 1.8, and then the channel refused, and so she just said goodbye.
Good on her. Because Carl Stefanovic was in the news sometime last year, wasn't he? And he was the one that wore that same shirt for a year.
Yes, I think he was. Yeah, that's right. And then when Lisa wears something, like, twice, there's a lot of articles like, oh, she's recycling.
That is terrible. Well, I'm glad people can't see me in the radio station because who knows what kind of comments I'd get.
Right, me too.
Yeah. Radio's good. Good platform. So the Greens are also, the Australian Greens are saying that drug dogs are ineffective and expensive.
Yes, this is quite an interesting story. Well, I found it interesting. The stats were saying that only 1.7% of the people who are searched by drug dogs at music festivals are eventually charged with dealing. And in general, I think it was about 70% of people didn't even have drugs on them.
Right, that the dogs picked up.
Yeah, and so, yeah, so the 30 they found were just recreational drug users. It wasn't really being effective in terms of drug dealing.
Is this drug dogs just for music festivals, or is this, you know, like, airports and... border security.
I think a study was done by the New South Wales Greens, and they just focused on music festivals. But yeah, of course you have your airport drug dogs, others in public sometimes, but they're quite expensive. It said in the study, I think it was $9 million a year to maintain a police detection dog unit, and then that was just the upkeep, training, and operational costs.
All right.
Yeah.
That is a lot of money. So do you think there'll be any change there, or is that just sort of something
I'm not sure. I think it's a strategy that the police seem to want to keep. I think maybe just the image of having the dogs there maybe makes people more apprehensive about bringing drugs to places, but I'm not sure. It'd be interesting to know what the psychology of people is in reaction to things like drug dogs.
Yes, exactly. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Nicole, and I'm sure we will have lots to talk about next week again, and hopefully some more news on the same-sex postal vote.
Absolutely. Yeah, talk to you then.
See you later.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.